Not we just, when the king just finished telling the story. Now, I don't know what we will do. Now we just tell and say, it shall be well. And next day, it was just well. We thank God, though. Therefore, don't behead guy now, you know? That's not Christianity. Your entrance to you is clear. You're not guessing. Are you getting my point? You're not guessing. When they told David, you are going to kill Goliath, he hardly, believe me, he had his business plan, you know what I mean? He had it in his mind. It didn't make sense. That was why he didn't share it with anybody. When they gave the man sword and stick, which was a normal way. Listen, you know, my wife and I, my wife knows what I'm talking about. Once we had a discussion with somebody about a sector of business in Nigeria, and he said, this is how it is done. In my mind, I said, no, this guy doesn't get the point. He said, no, if you don't use those people, you will have problems. This for the distribution, they are the only... In my mind, I said, oh, you are not connecting with what Christianity is. What you are telling me is that the only way to kill Goliath is to use a sword. What you are telling me, the only way to attack him is to have your javelin and have your armor and have everything. No, David said, no, I have a different plan. I have a different strategy. Listen to me. Which is clear to me, but you can't understand, so I'm not going to tell you. What I'm saying is very important too. That is for you, it is clear. You're not guessing. You know. It doesn't work like this. Listen to me. Sometimes God will deliberately deaden your eyes to the things that will scare you. You will just be going foolishly. But believe me, that plan will work. In David's case, he was persuaded. Are you getting what I'm saying? He knew it will work. Faith is not that I do everything contrary to common sense. To the man of faith, faith is common sense. Are you getting my point? A man of faith is not the man who does everything that even he doesn't understand. A man of faith does things that he understands the other people don't understand. Are you getting what I'm saying? He knows what's going to happen. I like this story. It just came to my mind now. I think it will help one or two people. Jackie Mize. I've told that story several times. She wrote the book, Supernatural Childbirth. When she was going to marry her husband, Terry Mize, she told Terry Mize, Terry Mize wanted to marry her. I said, look, the doctor said I can't have children. There's something wrong with me. Something like, ah. No, he said that I want you to know that, look, you insist on marrying me, fine, but I can't have children. Terry Mize said, why not? You don't want kids? He said, hey, actually, it is the doctors that said so. Oh, the doctors, he said, I forget, they don't know anything. And that's final. Now, listen, the man wasn't saying that, you see, let's just trust God. You never can know. God can do anything. It was a matter of fact. Listen, the doctor who told you that is confused. Tell him, I said, he does not know what he's saying. Are you getting my point? Listen to him. He said, look, I know the doctor thinks he knows, but I know something he does not know. That's why the woman wrote the book, Supernatural Childbirth, after having like 3 children. It wasn't like he was guessing. Let's just pray. You know, there's nothing that God can do. No, that's not faith. The man of faith is passing. Now, please, I hope you understand. The man is not guessing. He has discovered his own entrance into the kingdom. To him, it is reasonable. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. To him, it is what? Reasonable. Listen, Christianity is that the word of God is part of your common knowledge. I hope you get what I'm saying. Let me say it again. To the believer in Christ Jesus, God's word is common knowledge. The other time I had to make a decision, all right, about, you know, some issues, housing and all of that. And when I calculated based on what will happen between now and 2 years' time, all right, everything seemed to make sense, all right? The only thing that did not make sense was when we projected it beyond the second year. So I told my wife, we are forbidden from thinking about what will happen beyond that second year. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, if I had decided to be making my decisions, all right, listen, if I decided to make my decision based on what will happen after that second year, for that situation, it became a matter of taking thought for the moral. So it was common knowledge to me. It wasn't like you have to be smart. It was like, oh, no. If we now, what is at hand Alright, the situation is you address the matter in one block, and that block is between now and the end of 2 years. So what about after that? I said, if we start discussing that now, it's taking thought for the morrow. What we shall drink, what we shall eat, where we do shall we be clothed. I said, sorry, I can't do that. A man of God called me about 2 days ago and we're just sitting on the phone. And this housing matter again came up. As I have decided that it's not necessary, some of the things we worry about. I said, do we know where we'll be in 5 years' time? I said, we don't know. So why do we want to die that we must own a house in Enugu? I said, I've stopped that thinking. It has left my mind. I don't do it anymore. He said, land, the price of land is going up. I said, do I look like I'm going down? When cars were going for 150,000 naira for a very sharp Tokumbo, I didn't buy. When it was going for 2 million naira, I bought. Why? At 150,000, I didn't have. At 2 million, I had. So the land has 1 million now that I can buy. When it will be 50 million, that time I will have 100. I am not going down. I am going up. And in Jesus' name, no inflation can overtake me. Listen, even if I was in Zimbabwe, where inflation was about 100 and something thousand percent per annum, inflation in Zimbabwe could not have overtaken me. Because indeed, I am the head and I am not the tail. To me, it's common knowledge. It's not bragging. It's not begging. It's not trying to persuade somebody. It's a matter of fact. So I will not sell my present day comfort because the price of land can go up. Let it go up. Then I dead the land. Like we used to say when we were children. At your mark, get set, go. Let's see who will hit 100 million first. Either you, inflation, or me, man of God, child of God, anointed, Holy Ghost filled with the promise of God over my life. Try. Tell inflation, start. Overtake me if you can. You know the reason that overtakes me in life? Did I tell you? Blessings. These blessings. The bank where you did, I said I did this, I did go back lake. He said, we'll reach there before you. Most that. By the time I reach a back lake, the blessing is there. Inflation can't overtake me. To me, it's common sense. Therefore, I enter into the kingdom because of what I can see. Are you getting what I'm saying? I hope you are following what I'm saying. But then, just like where I stopped last time, I'm there again. But it's good we end over it again. So I will drive the point in. I said, why people don't see is sin. It is a lack of those necessary qualities. Are you getting my point? One of the greatest prayers you pray for yourself regularly is, search me, O Lord. Test me, O Lord. Check my heart. Check whether there is any hurtful thing inside me. The problem with Christians is that we think that sin is only I stole, I cheated another man's wife, I lied. What else? All those morally bad things. That's not sin alone. Like I said, those things are wrong. But there are many more things that God is trying to wash out from our lives every day. Kindness. You know, most people are not kind. I'm telling you the truth. A lot of people are not kind. Kindness. And kindness is interesting. It has degrees. It keeps increasing. Something happened to me yesterday. Well, maybe this is why God didn't let it happen, so I can give us a testimony. It's not a big thing, though. Like you say, hey, Pastor, by the time you were through, you had 1 million. Nah, lie. Nothing like that. This is a testimony. The shippers that ship my wife's stuff, they called and there was a small disagreement on the phone. They said, okay, we should go and pay the shipment money. And so I said, look, the guy who sent the stuff from the U.S. has paid. And they said, okay, they will call the U.S. They called. After about 2 hours later, they called me and said that payment has not been made. And I was angry because I know payment has been made. Maybe they're just not communicating properly. So I said, no problem. I was under explaining to the lady that, listen, your money will be paid in Nigeria. But please, don't draw the check that was mailed to you in US. So I wanted to just explain to her that, listen, if you do that, that would be a fraudulent practice. I wasn't trying to tell them they were stealing. But that if by your negligence, you collect money here, and you see drone, and you see American Nigeria is not the same. I don't know whether you understand my point. An American, a check is as good as cash. Because if that check doesn't fly, hey, you're in trouble. So I just want to look simply, if you get the check, you guys have issues right now, please make sure you don't draw the check. You know, I just want to explain to her. Of course, being somebody who didn't get my point. Why can you, why should be talking like that? You know, like, because I use the word fraud. How can I talk like that? I just lost my temper. I said, my friend, don't be stupid. I shut on the phone for a while. I just, my friend, stop talking to me. I coined the phone and dropped the phone. And the Holy Spirit said, you better call back and apologize. Why? Is it my fault? You know, that kind of thing. So I was just talking to myself after a while. I just looked the line when the tech called me. I picked my other phone call, please. The person who picked the call, that was not the voice. Are you getting my point? So I said, somebody called me just now, this is my name, about this matter, and I shouted on her, I lost my temper. Can you just give her the phone, please? I want to apologize. The lady said, okay, she's not around now. I'm her superior. She had even reported the case to me. So I explained to that lady, I'm so sorry. I didn't intend to do this. What happened was I explained properly. Then she explained her point, and I said, God bless you. Have a good weekend. I said, thank you very much, and we hung up. Now, why did I tell the story? You know, I could have refused to do that. She doesn't know me. Our faces, we probably will never see each other. And when we see each other, but she may even go home at night and be listening to Pastor Banky preach on Omega TV. And she won't even guess that that's the joker who just shouted to her, shouted at her on the phone. But I think what happened to me is that the Holy Spirit insisted. Oh boy, pick up the phone and apologize. So I said, well, it doesn't mean anything, Shaka. You know, after a while, without thinking more, I just pick up the phone, dialed it. Well, you may think that it was not a big deal, but for me before, not a big deal. You know, I told that story to let you know about sin. Are you getting my point? That it's not just about only, you know, fornicator. You know, those kind of things. Those are the ones we call sin. But that kind of thing, just you pass by. Now, let me say this to you. God is interesting. If it's crucial, all right, for you to see light, to make that apology, you will never see that light without apology. You will never see it. He says, what if that case comes? Don't worry, another one will come back tomorrow. If that case passes, God will send another irritation to your soul tomorrow. You will get angry. And the Holy Spirit will say, oh boy, I apologize. Say, no lie, it was not my fault. Say, no wahala. Listen to me, you will be on one spot for the next 2 years because you have not yet been able to open your mouth and call somebody and apologize. Christianity is not about let's learn the principles of investment, how to do things sharp and be smart. No, it is about purification. Everybody say that. Christianity is about what? Purification. That's what it is. Peter said there is an entrance that you would need, that God has ordained to lift you from one level into another level. But bros, except you have certain qualities, you will be blind and you will not be able to see it. You can go to Harvard Business School. Finish that, cross to IMT. Now, when I say IMT, I mean American IMT. All right? MIT, sorry. MIT, I wanted to say. So you finish that, go to MIT. From there, cross over to Liverpool. Finish in Liverpool, try Cambridge. Do everything you like. At the end of the day, Holy Spirit is just looking. Has he apologized? No. Leave him. Oh God. You know, let me tell you, your life is not the same as the life of an unbeliever. It's easy to get carried away. They tell you that these days, they are employing people with foreign degrees and use your whole life savings to go and gather a foreign degree. Listen to me, a foreign degree is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But listen to me, it can't guarantee prosperity for anybody. Many of your fathers, no foreign degree. At the end of the way they land, and no good state civil service. After a while, retirement. And if you think that it was just this, listen, one day MTN will just be as good as a civil service office. You say Banky said so. The big construction companies when I was young, where are they today? Where are they? I've seen people that They controlled big things like that. That years later, someone would say, you know this guy? I said, no. Can you remember so and so? I said, yes, when I was young. I remember. That was his father. What? I don't know whether I get the point. It's like you grow up. Then I say, you meet one brother. I say, oh, that's brother Dele Adenuga. All right, I say, okay, how are you? Fine, thank you. Jeez, after a while. And I say, can you remember Glue? When you were young, Glue. Say, yes. That boy's father. And I look at the guy. As he greets you, finish, now reach road. Okada, which side? You know, it doesn't add up in your mind. And listen, bro, these things, they happen. Foreign degree doesn't mean anything. I told you, a friend of mine said, I think, when he was in New York, he entered a shop. Anyway, let me cut the long story short. He mentioned, because these recordings go to different places, so I don't want to give names. He mentioned one of the top three politicians, when I say politicians, I mean government officials, you know, like president, vice president, senate president, you know, that kind of thing. He mentioned one of them that ruled in Nigeria years ago. He said, you remember that man? I said, yes. He said, while he was in office, his wife, all right, used to travel from Nigeria to Paris to go and shop, like I want to go and buy cosmetics. No, his wife was in US, that the woman would travel to France to go and shop for cosmetics. Now, you don't get what I'm saying. You are living in America. You are living in New York. You can do anything, you know. You say, my pancake don't finish. What's the proper word for it? Foundation, have you? Anyway, my face powder don't finish. My perfume don't finish. So what are we going to do? Well, let's go and buy. So you think you're going down to one tush part of New York. Now, like, you take a flight and you go off to Milan, from Milan to Paris, that you want to go and buy cosmetics, and you come back home. That's how much money this woman was spending. So I had a daughter for that man. He said, I entered into a shop in the U.S. She was a cashier in that shop. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Somebody whose mother used to fly to go and buy cosmetics. We are not talking, that's, you don't get what I'm saying. That is, like, person they take bus, go away to market. And you know people like that won't fly economy. Worst, they'll fly what? Business class. Yeah, just a few years down the line, the daughter had to work as a clerk in a shop to put ends together. I'm trying to tell you something. See, you can, if you like, go anywhere, get all the degrees you want in this world. It can't guarantee you anything. Hear it now and don't let anybody deceive you. Are you getting what I'm saying? What guarantees results for the Christians, what I'm discussing? You know what it is? Purification. What did I call it? Purification. Go back to that first Peter, second Peter. He said there are qualities. He described them. He talked about moral excellence. Let me start with that. Moral excellence. I think that's the foundational key for Christian prosperity. Moral excellence. Moral what? Excellence. You know, every day, you know, my wife does business and we talk. I ask her questions sometimes. Why do people behave like this? Why do people owe money they have and they don't think they should pay? I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. You think that the person you are paying money, as if you are throwing money away. No, you are owing money. It's moral excellence. Do you get my point? For you to settle your... Why, look, you go and be driving a big car and you are owing everybody money. You know the truth? You're a thief. There's a guy I met many years ago. I wrote this in one of my books. That guy shows up now. Enters here. Banky, how now? I will greet him. Why don't you sit down? As he's sitting down, I carry my Bible and disappear. You know why? I encountered him for a few days. This is a professional colleague that was just a rogue. Embarrassed me a few times. I don't want to go into details. You know those kind of people that wait in your pocket. Mobile Coke now. One day I said I was thirsty. Let's drink Coke. When a man says, let us drink Coke. When you're thirsty, what do you think of? He wants to buy you Coke. Now I open my mouth, collect down now. Pay time. Say, you not get money. God punish you. You don't have money. You don't have money. Then why did you make me eat and drink? After that, I said, this guy, I don't know whether he's a believer or not. Because he claimed to be. But if he's a believer, he's blind. I told myself, prosperity from this guy is as far as the east is from the west. They told me tomorrow that the guy prospered. I'll go and check his life. If he has not changed, I know he joined the cult. God cannot lead you. You have to understand my point. I'm not judging him like, look, listen. I look at his life. Kindness was not part of him. The one they said, I know I'm not generous. In my mind, yeah, you are not generous. You are not generous. You are not generous. I wanted to kill him. That when you say I'm not generous, you make yourself sound nice. Are you getting my point? I said, that's an insult to people who are not generous. You are a rogue. How can you say I'm not generous? To make it look like, you know me, I'm not generous. No, 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 no. You should have just said, me, I'm a thief. Better hold your pocket when I come near your side. One of the worst testimonies I hear these days. So people say that, ha. And even me, I've said it. What I mean by it? It's a bad testimony. But it's the reason that there are things that lead to it. When they say that, don't do business with church people. You heard that before? It's a very terrible testimony. It's a very terrible testimony. It's bad. It's terrible. Listen, you should make it a point of duty. Then whatever you do, moral excellence is number one. I don't feel too bad and say that don't do business with church people. You know why? Because church is Sunday. Everybody comes to church. The problem we have with church is just because when we enter there, our guards are down. You think you are in the midst of good people. But you know that there are all kinds of wolves and sheep clothing there. Alright? But what I want to bring out is that let's forget church. Let's forget people. Think about yourself. What's my testimony? I'll give you an assignment today. If you know there are people who justly think of you as a useless person to do business with, not because of any other thing than the fact that you are dishonest, and you know there's no point in deceiving yourself. To you and person put money together to do business. By the time the money arrives, you first pay your bills, do everything other, and say, hey boy, the money never complete. Oh. You know. And listen, don't ever think other adults are fools. Anyway, this is the point I'm making. You have to repair that character. Are you getting what I'm saying? Go and call the person and say, oh boy, now wow. How did you manage with me all this while? So what do you mean? Say, man, I have been so dishonest. Listen, I don't have time to talk about confession of sin. If you say that, you're on the path to healing. Confession of sin is not the one you say in your room. Father God, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. I won't do that again. Then when your friend shows up, now very relax. Now how much? Isn't only 5,000 naira? Very relax. He go inside. See, you know, Pastor Pangi said we should supply morality. What I did to that guy is not true. But you can't say it to his face. That's not confession of sin. That's why James said, confess who your sins one to another that you might be healed. If you sin only against God, confess only against God, to God. If you sin against somebody else, confess to the person. If you were around during our spiritual economic empowerment and development seminar, spiritual economic, that's seeds, all right? Please, yeah, season one. Yeah, season one. All right? Please, you remember I discussed these things. And if you are not here, please get the CDs. They say that should Christians borrow? You know, I've heard people say that a Christian should never borrow. All right? I don't preach that gospel. What I preach is a Christian should always pay back. That's my own gospel. Do you understand? A Christian should always what? Pay back. Number one, he said here, is what? Supply moral excellence. Moral excellence. That is how Christians get results. It's not by, all right, praise God. So you now wake up in the morning and you begin to declare. You begin to declare. We'll get to the matter of declaring. We will declare. But that's not number one. Number one is what? Moral excellence. Let me tell this story. I close with it. We'll continue developing this next time. I read from Edco. Edco had a friend, a businessman, who called him one day and said, my business is not doing well. I don't know what is going on. So Edco said, okay, I'll come around and look at what is going on. So Edco looked around. Everything was in order. People come to work on time. They close at the appropriate time. You know, everything was just in order. Let me just summarize because I don't have all the time. After the fact that everything is in order, nothing is still working right. Along the line, he was talking to the staff, and something slipped out of somebody's mouth. You know the truth? The man, Ed Cole's friend, a Christian man, was having an affair with his secretary, and people knew. Look, listen. If you like, let him hire Goldman Sachs executives, Accenture, PricewaterhouseCoopers, you know, Pitman, Wikani, Ogunde, and Co. Listen, no matter what they say or do or discover, the thing about worldly people is that they will never connect your adulterous acts with the problems in your business. They won't. And then one preacher will show up on TV. The reason why your business is going down is because you ain't giving. Bro, it is good to give. But that one is easier. You know, giving is much easier than confessing your sin to your wife. That giving is the easiest one. Say, God, say, after how much you say, look, this mafia done that you are. How much is your protection money? And God will say, that is God in quote. All right. I know they take 10% again. No? 10% for those who don't sin. People like you who are walking in iniquity. I take 50. Do you know the man will find it easier to pay God off? And in case you are hearing this, and one liar of a prophet has been telling you that is how to solve your problems, you and your prophet friend, you are going to be judged by God. Let me just deliver you at least from judgment. Your prophet friend, leave him alone. The truth is that you can give from now till thy kingdom come. Nothing will change. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The truth is that what sin has produced, sacrifices cannot, you know what I'm saying? Obedience, Samuel said to Saul, is better than to sacrifice. The only thing that could purify that man's business was repentance and confession of his sin. How do Christians get results? Let me end today with one word. It's what? Purification. Because sin is a poison. I keep on saying it. Sin is a poison that prevents us from connecting with our promise. Your promise is in a particular sphere, and the door into that sphere is your entrance, which you need to see. Except a man be repentant and be transformed, he cannot see. That's what Jesus said. And if you don't see, you can't enter. Sin is why people don't see. You know, what we try to do is that we discover a new drug, a wonder drug, as doctors or as scientists, and we decide it's going to cure everything. Native doctors do that. From headache to cancer, the same portion. That's what we try to do sometimes. We discover a new truth. For example, about giving. People should give. It's good. We now say it's the cure to everything. I heard a man say that if you give, you give out of, you give yourself out of sin into righteousness. I say, So if you know you need to leave sin and go into righteousness, where do you need to give to do? Why don't you just leave it? But because the man does not want to leave his iniquity, he wants to continue. So he steals, he cheats, he defrauds, sells fake drugs, all right, smuggles drugs, does everything. At the end of the day, he makes 100 million. Say, God, that you might not kill me, take 50. A lot of generous people, it's conscience that's worrying them. Conscience. I'm telling you. Listen, your sacrifices will not atone for those sins. With Christianity, the atonement for sin was Jesus Christ, and you connect with him through sin, through confession of sin. So John said, if we confess our sins, he discussed our advocate with the Father. He's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse of all unrighteousness. Listen, Christians, don't start trying to learn principles of business, or principles of success. What you learn, the principles of purification. How do I take jealousy? You know, jealousy is a dangerous sin. Envy. Somebody makes progress, you can't sleep well again. Number one key to inheriting our promise. Number one, I said that what we operate by is what? Promises. And number one key is what? Purification. Purification. Let us pray.